And my next guest, I'll just ask just to stay a few more minutes. I want to bring on Mike Barra on. Let's see here if I can get him. Mike, are you there?
I am here, Ted.
Oh, go ahead. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could come on.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I've been wanting to do this for a long time. It was my brother Dave who turned me on to your show, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm really glad to be here.
Okay, great, great. I love your background, Mike. That's amazing. Look at all those cool pictures you've got. Cool, cool, cool. Well, Mike, would you like to say hi to Q?
Hi, Q. How are you doing?
Mike, beautiful day to you.
I'd like to. It's 11:11 is an angelic number, and so I'd like to go ahead and say a prayer for world peace, and especially for all the kids in the children in these horrible situations beneath ground who've been used for their adrenal chrome and God knows what else. But I want to send them lots of love and light for healing and those that have passed, as well as peace and harmony on the planet, because I know we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. I'm going to hit my 528 Hertz tuning fork. This is a crystal from Lemuria infused with lots of love and light from the city of Telos and Adama. That one too, Mike. Great. 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 One more time. I'll be doing this every Saturday now at just after 11 o'clock to about 11:11 or so to help with the planet. 11:11, of course, is an angelic number. Q, would you like to say a few words on that? And then you're welcome to go.
I'll step aside from that one. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Mike, would you like to say some words for the planet?
Well, yeah, my hope is that we can get through this very difficult period that we're in, you know, without a lot of bloodshed. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm increasingly more pessimistic about that as the days go by. I have a daily news show I do called The Real Deal Report, and I get very frustrated because I feel like the president could be doing more to shut things down that ought to be shut down. But you know, I guess we have to trust that there's a plan. You know, they're always telling us trust the plan and hope that these things develop in the way that we want them. And right. I'm extremely concerned about the election coming up. So I just, again, put out thoughts and prayers. And I wrote a whole book about how this stuff matters. And so it is very important to get in the right mindset.
Sure, sure. Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But first, Q, I want to thank you so much for coming today. You're welcome to hang around if you like, but if you've got other planets to go to, other dimensions to visit, other places you want to time travel, that's totally fine. So anyway.
Great day to you. Thanks so much.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Q. Have a beautiful day. Anyway, Mike is a wonderful fellow. He's a, let me bring this down here. Just a moment here. New York Times bestselling author, a lecturer, and TV personality whose books have sold over 100,000 copies worldwide. He began his writing career after spending more than 25 years as an engineering design consultant for major aerospace companies. He's got an incredible knowledge. It was very kind of you to send me a copy of your book, Ancient Aliens and JFK, which I read. I've read. Mm-hmm. So we can go over that, which is fascinating.
Sure.
And then the second one, I've just had a busy week, but I've skimmed through the choice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can start with either one. How would you like to start today? It's your choice as far as the interview goes, Mike, what questions you'd like to ask?
Well, I mean, given that you talked to Jack Kennedy on a fairly regular basis, I think I'd like to start with the JFK one because I think there's so many aspects of what happened that day that are so misunderstood. And I think that there's a much bigger, you know, political picture that was going on that had to do with extraterrestrials that I think people don't you know, to me, it's like very obvious that's the reason, or at least that was the final straw as to why the president was murdered.
And
that's why I think it's very important. And I just find that when I do lectures, even though the book is a couple years old now, I just keep coming back to this lecture because it always shocks people. And it's really, I think, really important information.
Well, there's a couple of issues I want to bring up. I'm sure you've heard of this Christchurch, New Zealand article with the front page story about JFK being shot. That it was published when JFK was still alive in Washington, D.C. And you dig a little further and you find that all the embassies around the world were ordered by Lyndon Baines Johnson, vice president back then, to release this story on November 22nd, the day he died. They was assassinated. The problem is that in New Zealand, when the U.S. Embassy released the story to the press in New Zealand, it was still the 21st in the United States, and President Kennedy was still very much alive. And what was funny is this was in the Oliver Stone movie, JFK, where they have a picture of Kevin Costner, and he's holding this newspaper article at the Auckland airport, and he's reading about the death of President Kennedy when President Kennedy is still alive. And back when I started getting messages from President Kennedy and others back, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I contacted the library in Christchurch, and they said that there had been so much, quote, controversy about this article, they wouldn't send me the full copy. They said, you're welcome to fly to New Zealand, Mr. Marr, if you like, and then we'll give you a full page copy of that. And I said, gee whiz, I don't have $5,000 to fly to New Zealand right now, but if I did, I would. And then a couple of years later, I really wanted a copy of this article, Mike. And so what the library did in Christchurch is they sent me a tiny little inch by inch and a half, just a thumb dot thing of a PDF file, and you couldn't hardly read it. And so I was meditating at my computer one day, and President Kennedy said, Ted, I want you to go ahead and open up that document. So I clicked open, the whole thing went spread to a full page. That's how I got my copy.
Wow.
So he opened it up for me. And so that was amazing. But one of the most incredible things, this connection that you've identified, I think, is very important. And it's also written about by Dr. Michael Sala as well. And I've read his book, too, on JFK. Mm-hmm. One of the most important things that you mentioned in your book, I'll see if I can find it quickly, is called the Burn Document.
Right.
And do you have that? I can find the quote here in a minute. It said something like,
there's a quote where I believe one you're probably referring to is where it says, as you know, Lancer has been inquiring as to our activities, meaning MJ-12, and this is something that we cannot allow.
Right. And the cryptic language they used was something like, when conditions become non-conducive for growth in our environment and Washington cannot be influenced any further, the weather is lacking in any precipitation. It should be wet. And from what I've read from Dr. Sala, when they say it should be wet, is a Soviet term for assassination.
Wet works. Yeah, it's called wet works. That's what they wet would works, call it when they would assassinate someone or that was an order that was given. It was wet work. You know, I've got a wet job work. For you. It's wet work. And
Right.
That's exactly what it was.
Right. So, and one of the things you bring forward in your book, and now this is a great book, I recommend everyone to get a copy, Ancient Aliens and JFK, is that one of the reasons, I mean, there were several reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated, but one of them was that he wanted to work with Soviets in going to the moon.
Yes.
And as part of that, he wanted complete disclosure. And if you wanted to touch base on that a little bit, I think it's a fascinating topic. And also, you got your information from disclosure that was given by President Trump a couple of years ago, those documents you went through and you put it in a book. So if you could share that a little bit, that would be great. And then we'll go on to some other topics.
Yes. That's also because that confirmed the documents the president released confirm, among other things, that that there were newspapers that were informed before the assassination that the assassination had occurred. There's another example of a document that shows that an English newspaper was called and told that Kennedy had been assassinated or that they should watch Dallas or something like that hours before the assassination took place. Mm-hmm. We also know that Cuban intelligence that normally monitored Washington, D.C. with radio and things like that they were told that morning to point everything towards Dallas, Texas. So, you know, along with that Auckland, New Zealand newspaper article, we have confirmation of that. Now, the basic premise of my book is that is that the real reason, or the final straw that Kennedy was assassinated for, was the fact he was going to cooperate with the Russians and go to the moon together. Right. And the right. reason that they, meaning CIA or Majestic 12, MJ-12, whatever you want to call the secret syndicate, could not allow that is because there was ancient alien technology on the moon. And that, other than Apollo 11, which was purely a symbolic mission to land in the middle of nowhere and consecrate the moon as a Masonic temple. Buzz Aldrin did that in a ceremony before they ever went on the first moonwalk.
I read about that in your book. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
All the other missions were designed to land near these bases and these structures that they were pretty sure were there and, and go pick up technology and I think bring it back for reverse engineering. So what Kennedy was going to do is not only go to the moon with the Russians, which would have ended the whole Cold War animosity or at least limited it considerably. Yeah, right. He was going to give them the technology that he found. And Khrushchev, interestingly, His son, Sergei, who was a senior fellow at Brown University, or at least he was, said that, you know, Kennedy had made this offer to his dad twice in private 2 years before, and the third time he did it in public at the UN in September of 1963. And that he took a walk with his dad, he said, late October, early November, and his dad told him, Nikita Khrushchev, the premier of the Soviet Union, said, I have to accept his offer because we're not going to beat them to the moon. They're ahead of us, and we're not going to catch up. So... And then there's, of course, a couple of executive orders that show that Kennedy had actually ordered CIA and NASA to open up a technology exchange office and begin sharing information about what he called bona fide unknowns, which meant UFOs. Wow. So basically, he wanted to make sure that they didn't the Russians did not mistake alien spacecraft, I guess, for our secret weapons system.
I heard that too. Yeah, yeah. And, what an opportunity missed. President Kennedy... In my own book, Messages from the Masters, he said, he gave me a timeline, Mike. I'll send you a copy of my book. He gave me a timeline.
Love it.
I'll get you a copy of the book in the mail. President Kennedy gave me a timeline of what would have happened had he lived. And by now, we would be in the fifth dimension, Mike. We'd be exchanging ambassadors with other advanced human extraterrestrial civilizations. We would have free energy. We would be living for at least 500 years. There would be no disease on the planet. This place would become a paradise because that's what our destiny is to become a happy people. We're not meant to be fighting each other. We're not meant to go to war constantly. We're not meant to have conflict. And we almost did it back in the 60s, almost. But what President Kennedy has told me repeatedly, that kind of change from the top down is now happening from the bottom up. From you and me and everyone listening to this show today is that people are now realizing that they want a better world and a lot of it's individual choices. And there's so many people waking up now and it's just amazing. It's a beautiful time to be alive, actually.
It is. And you know, I think I've got a screenshot behind me. I think I'll put it up in a minute when I get a chance of just President Kennedy and President Trump side by side. And it says this time you lose. So I hope that's true, but this is fascinating because I have always, you know, Sergei Khrushchev did say, I think if President Kennedy had lived, we would be living in a completely different world.
Oh yeah.
Today. Right. And so this raises a question I'd like to ask if President Kennedy, I've heard he likes to be called Jack. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, he wants me to call him Jack. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. You know, I don't know if he's around or if we can ask.
He's right
ask
here.
Okay.
He's listening the whole time.
There is a speech that is online that I found that is allegedly a speech that he was going to give at some point, or that people even say he might've given it at the trademark the day he was murdered. Basically introduced people to alien life. And I want to know if that is real or not, or if it's maybe close to something he was planning on doing.
Actually, part of that speech is memorialized at the Daily Plaza in Dallas.
I didn't know that. I was just there a few months ago.
Yeah, yeah. I've talked to Jack about that, and I went to the Grassy Knoll. It's right at the Grassy Knoll.
Yes. In fact, I've seen it, and I didn't register what was on it, Ted. Now I feel like I missed something.
Yeah. And I took pictures of the speech, and it was a speech he was going to give that day, later that day. And so his biographers, they have that sections of that speech, not the whole speech, but sections of it. And if you are at the Grassy Knoll, they've memorialized it there in this large plaque.
Wow.
Now the interesting thing is, if you go down to the grassy knoll, from the grassy knoll, Mike, to where his limousine was, where he was shot, is only 20, 30 yards.
I think with a little practice, I could have maybe made the shot. I think about, as I talked about in the book, I'm convinced it was J.D. Tippett there on behind the picket fence. And I know that some of my friends who are good shots, I'm sure they, you know, the limo was only moving about 5 miles an hour. They could have made the shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's so many anomalies in his assassination, and many people, you know, wanted him, unfortunately, to eliminate him.
Yes.
But he said that he's telling me now, he's here. And he said that, he has never stopped being our president. And so he's and then he's told me before, he's telling me now, what are they going to do? Kill me? I mean, he's already dead, but he's here. And there's no such thing as death. That's the other thing about when you talk to the other side and you talk to spirits, there's no such thing as death. That's the beautiful thing. When I talk to a family, for example, and somebody's passed on and they want to talk to their relative who's passed on, or pet even, it's comforting to them to find out that they're okay. And that they're happy, you know, because our soul goes on.
Right.
And so I want everybody to know that President Kennedy is there. He's still Joe Jackie, beautiful spirits. And they're helping us through this difficult time. They know it's difficult, but things are going to get better. And I just want everybody to know that. And I have a message for you, Mike, that they're saying is don't get discouraged. You're on the right track. Who's telling me this? They said, if you get down, have a beer. have a cold beer.
They know me pretty well, whoever they are.
I don't know who's, I think Jack said something like that. He's funny today. But have a cold beer if you get down, or give me a call. We'll both have a beer or something, So, but there are good times ahead of us. And my astrology friends have told me that this period from 2015 to 2030 will be one of the most change in this century. Mm-hmm. And of all those years, this year, 2020, as having the hardest year, and from July through December are the hardest months, mm-hmm. with December, the end of the year, November and December, the most challenging time. So, you know, if that's what I know. So I'm just kind of hanging on for dear life, as we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all are, you know. So anyway.
You know, Ted, this brings up one question that I would like to know, because there's another thing that I've kind of become known for, which is talking about Q movement and things like that. And I'm not positive the guy you're talking to is necessarily Q. He could very well be part of it. I know some other people that are part of it, I believe. But the issue is John F. Kennedy Jr. up there, or is he still here, or is there some other explanation in between?
I can tell you quite a bit about that. First off,
funny, you're supposed to be interviewing me and I'm asking you questions.
No, I know that. Well, it's a program where we share each other, so anyway, which is good. You know stuff I don't, and vice versa. So anyway, I really like your work, Mike. You've done great work.
Thanks.
Q itself is it's an amalgamation of several different entities. Let me see. I'm not sure how much I can share. Let me just check. Okay, there's three. This has already been shared publicly, but there are three humans as part of that. And the rest of them are either spirits or they're off-world, benevolent off-world. Mm-hmm. And the Q posts are done by somebody else.
Yeah, I think I know who that is, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing, Q has told me too, he said that my Q, the one I deal with, is that there are imposters who've come forward saying they're Q, making post up, but they're not Q, and they're doing it for perhaps ego gratification, for money. They may have a different agenda, not a positive agenda for their information. So there's misinformation coming out there too.
Yeah.
I had a friend ask me about that last night, because she felt that some of the posts were really negative, and how could I associate with a negative entity? And I said, no, the entity I am in contact with is the real deal, and he's very benevolent, kind, and loving, and only wants the best for humanity. So I guess if you hear Q posts out there, the best thing to do is to resonate with your heart mind. If you feel like it's the truth, then it's the truth. Logic, if you get a feeling that it's not the truth and you're not getting the correct information, then stay away from it. That's what I do as a rule anyway.
Right.
So, because I always like to accentuate the positive in my shows, and my purpose is to make the world a better place, and I don't get into doom and gloom. I've gotten to know Q pretty well, at least this part of Q, and he's always very positive. And so it's always refreshing to talk to him. If he was negative, I would stay away. So it's not being negative and being realistic is two different things, I think.
Right.
There are
right,
negative exactly. entities out there you have to be realistic about. But having said all of that, not all of the information out there is correct, simply because you have people out there who want to jump on the bandwagon to use that for their own self-aggrandizement, in
sure.
my opinion. So.
Sure. What about Junior? Is he up there with them, or is he still down here with us? Do we know, or is that not something you cannot talk about, or maybe that's something we need to find out for ourselves in the next 6 months?
Okay. Hold on. You're going into an area that I'm a little uncomfortable, but well, I'll tell you what I know. At first, okay. I thought that John F. Kennedy Jr. had, in fact, died in that plane crash mm-hmm. many years ago. But I've gotten a lot of evidence in the last couple of years that he's in fact alive, assumed a different identity along with his wife. And he's laying low right now, because of that.
Yes, he's, well, let me tell you what I've been told and what I've seen. I've seen photographs of this guy at the Trump rallies. And,
oh yeah, right.
And I'm convinced that it's him. Now, there are people that say, oh, Junior was 6'1", and this guy's shorter than that. I don't know if that's true, but the facial features are pretty much identical with 20 years of age and a disguise right. added. And then the woman that he's with, who he clearly knows, I guarantee you is Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. Yeah. I guarantee you it's the same person.
Yeah.
So, right. And then there are other people that appear to be other members of the family, you know, right. in these crowd shots. And, right. and this guy right. has access to a very close access to the president. And, I just looked at all the evidence and I said, look, this cannot be a series of coincidences. It absolutely has to be him. So I was right. really amazed by that when I saw it and I went with it. And I really think he is still with us. And, you know, President Trump, whatever his achievements will be in the end, is a strong and polarizing figure. And what could unify the country more than perhaps Junior coming back and telling us, yeah, all this stuff is true. And, you know, telling us why he did what he did and why he hid himself and let's move into this new future. I mean, I think it would be a wonderful story.
Yeah, well, I can't talk about it further, but the message I'm getting now is that the coming month will yield many surprises.
Can't wait. Can't
many
wait.
Many surprises within the month. There will be many surprises, and that's really all I can say at this point.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, use your imagination, but there's going to be a lot of surprises. So
okay.
A lot of things that I'm not at liberty to talk about right
Got
now.
Got it. Got it.
So,
well, no, there is danger. I mean, I'm sure there's danger. If he were still alive, there would be a danger too.
Oh yeah. Right.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Right.
So, absolutely.
Mike, you wrote an interesting book called The Choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the title because it talks about using conscious thought and physics of the mind to reshape the world. And I couldn't think of a better book, by the way, that's absolutely fascinating because I think we're all powerful spiritual beings and we all have the spark of the creator or the God force within us. So we can use that to create a better world. Could you talk a little bit about your book, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was I had written this first book, Dark Mission, The Secret History of NASA, which was all about the NASA conspiracy and the fact that I wrote with a man named Richard C. Hoagland, who was very well known in the UFO paranormal community. We had been partners really for almost 10 years when we wrote that book, and it took almost 10 years to write it.
Oh, wow.
But then after that was done, you know, one of the things that was in there was this idea of what Hoagland called hyperdimensional physics, which simply means that there are higher spatial dimensions than this one. There are higher realities,
right,
and they vibrate faster, and that we can pull energy down from them. And this was, interestingly, what he believed was the mathematical message of what he called the monuments of Mars, these pyramids and objects on the surface of Mars, the face on Mars, that sort of thing.
Right.
And I begin to think about, after that book was done, it was very difficult to write with somebody else. And I begin to think about what would be my second book. And at the time, there was a girl I liked a lot that I was trying to inspire a little bit. And I thought, well, I want to write about this hyperdimensional physics and the implications of it.
Did you want to bring her out on a UFO date or something to impress her?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was, it's a long and complicated relationship, Ted. And who knows, I don't think the ending's been written yet. So who knows how it will come out in the future. But I begin to dig into, because I come from a more scientific grounded kind of basis, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, is there any evidence that there are these higher realms, that there are these higher spirits? I was dealing with some mediums. I had a wonderful friend named Denise Zack, who was a pet psychic. And she told me some things about my cat that I didn't know, that I later found out were true. And I'm like, the only way she could have known that is if my cat told her.
Right.
And so I begin to realize that this mediumship and so forth was real. And so I thought, okay, how do we explain this? So I began to look into the history of science and experiments and things that had been done. And, you know, I found some amazing connections, that there is this, the force, as George Lucas would call it, or I prefer to call it the ether, that there is this field all around us at all times, which is feeding us and giving us information and connects us with our higher selves. So, I mean, I found some incredible information. There was a guy named Cleve Baxter, who was actually had worked for the CIA. And one of his jobs was to interrogate people with lie detectors. One day he hooked up his lie detector to a houseplant that he had. And it was just recording. He was just recording the electronics and it was pretty normal and just like any living thing. And then he said, and then he thought to himself, well, I wonder what'll happen if I burn one of the leaves. And it went crazy. I mean,
It knew
the plant knew, I hate to call it it, but the plant knew that he was going to hurt it.
Oh, wow.
And it experienced fear. So, by the way, everybody who's a vegan or a vegetarian, believe me, when the celery gets harvested, it's just as afraid of dying as plants and animals are.
And
that's what that proves. And I just thought that was an extra. And then he went on to do many, many more experiments and proved over and over that it was your intent. The plants could also tell the difference if you were just thinking, oh, I'm going to hurt the plant, I'm going to cut it off or burn it, but if, as opposed to whether you really intended to do it. And they could tell the difference. They could tell intent. And I just thought that was extraordinary information.
Sure.
And that was one of the things that, you know, got me to do more research in the book that I, and finish off and add more stories to it. And then I guess the primary thing that became the theme of the book was that, gosh, this is a two-way street. We're not just receiving information from higher up. We can also send information. And guess what? The positions of the planets around us at our birth and at our current
day. Mike, be right back. Keep talking, okay? Right back.
And the positions of the planets at our current time and state actually did have an effect on our consciousness. And one of the ways that we knew this, or I knew this really quickly, was that there was some research done by a gentleman for RCA in the 1950s. And what his task was to find out why shortwave radio signals were good during some times of the year and bad at other times of the year. And they could never really quite figure it out. It didn't seem to be connected to anything, except that what he found out was that it had to do with sunspot activity on the sun. Now, when the sun was very active and firing out a lot of sunspots and a lot of solar flares, the shortwave radio signals were very, very poor. But when the sun was in kind of a relaxed state and everything was flowing smoothly, the shortwave radio signals were great. Now, what he discovered was that not only, his name was John, I forget his last name, but it's out there. Not only did it matter what the planet's positions were when these sunspots and activities and things energized happened, but they were aligned with astrology. In other words, what he found was that the most energy, high energy spin planets like the gas giants, which have the most angular momentum in the solar system, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, that their positions were critically important because they were putting out the most spin energy. And when they were in a trine, for instance, which in astrology is a positive aspect, the signals, the sun got quiet and the signals were clear. When they were in opposition or a square, which are negative aspects, guess what? The sun was really hyperactive, a lot of sunspots and terrible radio signals. And that was, you know, so it was, it basically confirmed through the astronomy and through the experiments that astrology is a real thing, that the positions of the planets and their spin energy, which is the key to Hoagland's whole hyperdimensional physics theory, is far more effective, affects us far more than gravity or magnetism or any of the recognized forces of nature. And to me, what that clearly meant is, well, what's a radio wave, Ted? It's an electromagnetic wave. What is every single thought in your mind that you've ever had? It's an electromagnetic wave. Therefore, if it can influence sunspots and radio signals, it's influencing what our thought process is.
That's true. And something that, a friend of mine pointed out to me about 5 or 6 years ago, when we're doing this radio show today, Mike, this is being broadcast not only on planet Earth, but it goes out into the universe and it can be accessed later. So by time travelers. So what we're talking today can be accessed 50, 200, 500 years from now by time travelers. So it's fascinating to talk about. I want to backtrack a little bit. You talk about the monuments on Mars. I'm in touch with the Galactic Alliance, and they tell me that was from an Orion, a civilization on Orion, of an Orion king who established a colony on Mars. And there was a period in Orion where they're basically, they were Pleiadian originally, but they were taken over by the Draconians, reptilians, and then genetically engineered to become a slave species for the reptilians. And that monument on Mars, my galactic friends tell me, was built before they became slaves to the reptilians. And but not all the Orions were taken over by the reptilians, about 90% were there. There is a small group still on Orion constellation, which have their free will, but most have been taken over and used as slaves by the reptilians. That goes into another whole area. But it's interesting to think about. So anyway.
Yeah, the fascinating thing about them, all these ruins, you know, the face on Mars appears to be human. And I could give you, I'm a structural engineer. That's what I did as a profession before I went into doing all this. I can show you all kinds of things on the face from high resolution pictures, which are clearly structural in nature. They're absolutely, this thing was built or modified or whatever. And it does appear to be human. So whoever these people were, you know, they were our ancestors or our brothers or something along those lines. There is a bigger, much bigger human family, I think. And that's why I think, you know, when Neil Armstrong said it's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, that's exactly what he meant. What he meant is that us, man, this version of humanity, you know, made a small step. We went to the nearest celestial body and landed there. But it's a giant leap for mankind because we're coming back to the stars from whence we came.
Sure. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true, Mike. Absolutely. This book, The Choice, and actually, I think the way you've written it, it goes into, I think it's useful to think about hyperdimensional physics and also other dimensions as well. Look beyond the 3D model. Because once you go into beyond the 3D, you can explain a lot of miracles, so-called miracles that happen and ability to read other people's minds. For example, as a psychic, when I go into the fifth dimension, everything there is truth. There's no such thing as false information when you go into the fifth, truly go into the fifth dimension.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
So no, it's true. So anyway, and that's where we're headed. And I was just talking with Q about that during the first hour, that as you go, as this planet ascends into the fifth dimension, which will more or less be completed by the year 2025. People will be able to read each other's minds and communicate telepathically so that people won't be able to lie to each other. And also we'll realize that we're all part of the God force, the supreme being. And so people will be less likely to cause harm to each other because you're basically harming yourself if you do that. So
Yeah, Ted, that's pretty amazing stuff. And it's interesting to me because what I did is I used all this to start looking at the astrology of the future from 2010. I wrote the book in 2010 on. And what I realized is, well, 2012 is really important. But what I found out is everybody's worried about an apocalypse. What I found out is the word apocalypse actually means to lift the veil. In other words, you show people the truth. And guess what? That's when the revolution happens. And that's when everything gets you know, restructured. And it began to look like, based on looking at eclipses, and there were some other experiments that Hoagland had done with eclipses showing that there were dramatic physical changes on the Earth that could affect instruments and so forth.
Wow.
Just when alignments and eclipses took place. So I'm looking at the alignment of 2012, and I said, well, this is something. And to me, what I eventually concluded is that 2012, December 21st, 2012, is going to open a window. And then I looked at a lot of the Vedic teachings and some of the stuff that they talked about, and they had an almost identical window with the same 5,125 year cycle. And their cycle was 2024 or early 2025. So I said, okay, so we've got about a 12 year period here where things are going to get, you know, that's where all the shift and things are going to change. And our structures and hierarchies are going to be challenged. I think I said at the end of the book, a lot of weird things are going to happen politically. Maybe you'll be walking down the street and you'll see an alien. That stuff hasn't quite started happening yet, but I kind of went back and looked at it. I thought I kind of saw Trump coming. You know, I mean, I didn't say specifically Trump, but I said, you know, something really weird is going to happen in an election.
There's a book out, and I know you know about it, Mike, called The Adventures of Baron von Trump.
Yes.
Which was published in 1898.
Yeah.
Do you think President Trump is a time traveler from that period? I mean, there's been allegations that.
I don't know that President Trump is. Here's, when I look at Trump, I believe the historical comp for him is Julius Caesar. Because Caesar, although he was an ambitious man who could be tough, and certainly, you know, certainly men of that age were not angels. They were not sweet men. They were very vicious. But he saw that the Roman Republic had become utterly corrupt, and he was challenged by the patrician class. And I look at this and I see the Democrats and Republicans aligned against Trump. And I see the patrician class, and I see the civil war going on between Caesar. You know, Mueller was maybe their Pompey, and Trump defeated Mueller. you know, I look at a lot of these roles. I think George Will fancies himself as Cicero, you know, and I'd like to remind him that Cicero ended up executed with his hands nailed to the doors of the Roman Senate. So, you know, again, you're on the wrong side of this. But I see that is the historical comp, that we are really in a situation where this one guy who has a love of the people, and a lot of people do love him, those of us that support him really love him, and you know, the military and stuff like that, as sort of the comp for this period. And I just think he's the change we need. Now other people look at him and say, gosh, he looks exactly like George Patton, and I think that's fascinating. When you really do look at him at his age, and he looks about like Patton in his 60s. So, you know, who knows? I've had other people say, oh, actually, he's a reincarnation of Tsar Nicholas of Russia, who screwed things up so badly that he wanted to come back and fix the thing, the mess that he'd made. So,
well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, certainly. You know what happened to Patton? I'm sure you do, at the end of World War II.
Yeah, well, he, of course, you know, was allegedly killed in a car accident. There are some people who say that he lived for 18 years after that or something, paralyzed from the neck down, I guess.
Yeah. He, I've gotten different stories on that, but I don't think he got killed in a car accident. I don't think his death was natural. That's what I've been told.
Anyway. Yeah, and you know, so there's the the story I read from somebody else who connects with spirits said that he lived for a long time after that, but was eventually murdered because they decided they just couldn't afford to have him around anymore.
Right.
You know, and that's a shame for such an incredible and significant historical figure.
He was that way. I have talked to him briefly now and then. And it's somebody I'd like to channel some more, actually. He just popped in, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I can see him in his suit and regalia. Yeah, very proud man.
Should be a proud man, really. I mean, he was, you know, the thing is, no man is perfect. I'm certainly not. And you know, everybody has their, you know, Patton loved war in a way, but he was also exactly what we needed, because I think what we were fighting was even worse
Yeah,
far worse than he is.
Sure, so. Right. So you know, a lot of people, I always like to ask this question, my guest, Mike, give people hope on a positive note. But you know, a lot of people are facing challenges out there. What would you advise people to for this time? I think we're gonna, and what do you see for the next 6 months to a year happening?
Well, I think the election's going to be chaotic. And the whole thing to me really, Ted, depends on what William Barr does, what the Attorney General does, whether he's on our side or their side. And I honestly don't know yet. I don't quite trust him because he hasn't arrested anybody important yet. And the thing is, a lot of that I have to recognize comes from my own fear. I feel like if we would start putting out the truth, you know, of what was found in the tunnels and so, at least some of it, and starting to change people's thinking. And then we would, then I would say, I'm very sure that Donald Trump's going to be reelected, which I think is really important. But I do see a lot of chaos. I think November, December, what you're seeing is probably riots and some battling in the streets with the far left in our country. That's going to be tough on everybody. The people who have had the reins of power in the occulted age of Pisces for 2,000 years are not going to give it up easily.
That's right.
So
you're already seeing some of that now, actually.
Yeah. And that's going to be rough. I think, I will tell you this, I believe firmly we're headed to a new monetary system. We're still going to have a monetary system, but it's going to be different. And I'm investing in silver and I'm in foreign currencies and things like that. And I do think we're going to have a new, probably gold backed or something like that kind of dollar. And it's going to be a much more equitable system across the world where the poor countries won't be so horribly poor.
Yeah.
And I see that definitely coming, and that's part of what's going to lead us into this positive new era. I also hear that these medbed technologies do exist, and that we are going to have access to them. It's going to be expensive at first, but then, you know, maybe the people who come out on top in the whole currency exchange thing will end up being able to finance these kinds of devices, and that we'll be living a lot longer. I mean, somebody told me once, you know, Mike, you incarnated in this era. You were so excited to get here because you wanted to be one of the people that got to live 500 or 600 years. I hope that's true. I hope that's true, because I'm ready to be 30 years old again. I'll just tell you that.
Well, what I know from my Galactic Alliance friends, Mike, is that advanced human civilizations, Mike, beyond this planet, live an average of 1,000 years.
Yeah,
that's where we're headed right now. The Pleiadians actually live between 1,000 and up to 25,000 years.
Yeah. Now, brings up an interesting question, because I wrote a book called Ancient Aliens and Secret Societies, and in it, one of the things I discovered was that there's this theory that there used to be this water vapor canopy over the earth, that there was never any rain, that water came up from the dew in the ground, and that was somehow shattered perhaps by a comet or an asteroid that broke it up, caused the 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and that our exposure now to the cosmic radiation, the radiation from the sun, is one of the reasons why we only live about 100 years instead of 1,000 years.
We were also tinkered with by the Anunnaki, shut down our longevity genes. But they're all coming back. They are coming back. And it's true. I've heard the same thing about Atlantis, where at one point it was 70 degrees around the entire planet. It was ideal weather. 70
nice.
Degrees, you know. You wouldn't need to put a thermostat at home.
I would go for 72, but still it would be pretty darn nice.
Okay, it was close. Yeah, it was close.
Right.
Yeah, it was close.
Right. So, you know, so the future, I agree with you, it's going to be very positive once we get through this very difficult period. And so what I do see again is the same thing you see, which is that the physics of simply living and breathing and being here on Earth is going to force people to wake up. And one of the messages I put in the choice is, if you're reading this book, and it sold pretty well, if you're reading this book, you know, the reason why you're reading it is because you have to be one of the leaders when everybody starts to wake up. Because what we're going to have is we're going to have a lot of people that have believed in the system, believed in the matrix. And again, you know, the matrix is a great example. It's not only a metaphor for the financial system, it's a metaphor for the world that we've lived in, which is all kind of fake and dreamlike.
But
when they wake up, they're going to be shocked, and you have to explain to them what's been going on and why things have happened. You have to take their hands and gently lead them through this transition, because it's a lot of the old things that we held dear are going to become kind of irrelevant to us really quickly.
One of the things that President Kennedy has told me repeatedly is leave no neighbor behind. try to bring as many people as you can, and stop the polarization. So that's what I try to do in my own work. Because for people who don't come along this ascension, Mike, they'll have to wait up to 25,800 years or one Mayan Kutun cycle.
Yeah.
For the next chance of ascension. So it's
one full processional cycle. Yeah. And again, Ted, that's why we have the polarization right now, is because everybody's making the choice. Am I going to be on this side or this side? Am I going to be on that side or that's, you know, that's what the title of the book is about, mm-hmm. is that everybody is in this lifetime right now to make the choice. And I think the window closes about 2024, 2025. That's when the rest of us move on, and people that want to stay behind, stay behind.
Yeah. Yeah. My friends in the Hollow Earth tell me that there's a sister planet on the other side of the solar system. It's in the lower part of the third dimension, Mike, but that's where negative entities or those who just don't want to go along with the ascension will go to.
And so there's like a mirror Earth on the other side of the sun or something? People have thought that for a long time. There was a movie about it from the 60s that was pretty good. So I've always wondered if that was true.
It's true, and it's already getting populated now by entities who don't want to ascend.
Yeah.
Or are more comfortable third dimension, because this planet's going into the fifth.
Yeah, whether we like it or not, right?
I've been told it's already ascended, and humanity now is just catching up on it.
Well, I just hope the Seahawks can win one more Super Bowl before we go there.
Don't worry. That'll be in the higher dimensions. They'll be fine.
Oh, we'll still have football. Okay.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine. Yeah, they'll be fine. But there's a lot of good things coming. And that's why I've been doing my show all these years, seven years or so. Mm-hmm. And I've now branched out to several different cities. It's been so much fun to do this and interview people. I look at this ending by the end of the year, but not without a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I know we'll get through it.
Right.
And then January will be a time of celebration for much of people on the planet.
You know, it's interesting. I have several mediums, friends that are medium psychic friends. And I have one that she does my fortune telling. She tells me, you know, what the next 6 months or next year are going to be like. And it's interesting because I talked to her about 3 weeks ago. And she said, January, I just see celebration. So there are other people out there that are getting the same message. And
it's the same message I get too.
Yeah. And I had a dream. I had a really interesting dream. And there, you know how some dreams are very clearly communications from higher up. Right. And I remember, in the dream, I was told that there were two big events coming. July 5th is the event and November 2nd is the celebration. And I kind of was disappointed when nothing really big happened on July 5th, but it was fascinating because you were doing a show and a month or so after I had that dream, you said the same thing that you kind of got that weekend was maybe something happened we don't know about yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of things are happening behind the surface and we've got about 3 minutes left. And Mike, could you give out your website, please, so people could order your books and
sure. I have a blog spot. I have Mike Barra. That's B-A-R-A, just one R, .blogspot.com. You can go there. You can just Google me and I come right up. I have a YouTube channel, which is on suspension right now because I've been talking about things that the masters don't want me to talk about. But there are still videos there. That's just Mike Barra on YouTube. And I did create a backup channel, Mike Barra 2 or Mike Barra II, just recently, so I can still upload a few things.
Okay.
Great. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Mike Barra, author. And, you know, I'm on all those systems. And usually when there's an Ancient Aliens marathon running on History Channel, I'm on that. And I've got some other new TV stuff coming out.
Let's go off for that cold beer sometime soon.
That sounds great because we're in the same area.
So we're in the same area. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you a call.
Sounds great.
And I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. And together, I know that we can make this planet a much better and happier place. And I know there's some beautiful times ahead for humanity. So just remember that. And we all came here to experience this now. All my spirit friends on the other side that say that they would love to trade places with us right now. This is the most exciting planet in the universe. Earth is, and I know we're all making this world a better place. So remain positive. And I can't wait to talk to you all next Saturday. And I hope you all have a beautiful and happy day. And Mike, thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, my friends, keep up your good work. And thanks again, everyone, for listening today. Take care. Bye-bye.
Kanata ni hikari